Okay, I need you guys to help me out, okay? I want you to help me complete each one of these sentences with the proper word or phrase that fills in the blank, okay? You ready? Out loud together. We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. That's right. There you go. Good stuff. All right, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. No pain, no gain. God helps those who make your bed and then you. And if it's up to me. Yeah, maybe it's if it's going to be, it's up to me. Not sure about that. Yeah, these are all concepts that swirl around in our mind, and we live in an American capitalist society where everything in life really centers around hard work, competition, winning, and so many other things. And we live in a world where nothing is free and you get what you deserve in life. And so often we translate this mentality into the spiritual realm. And while that may be true in economics and at work and maybe in other areas of our lives, when it comes to our relationship with God, oftentimes we look at the Lord the same way that we look at every area, other area of our life. And that's why the concept of grace is so difficult for us to wrap our brain around. It's tough. Today we're talking about contrarian spirituality, because a contrarian is somebody who refuses to accept consensus conclusions. And if you believe what the Scripture says about the grace of God, you will be a contrarian. A study was recently conducted by the Pew Research Group, and the study concluded that about two-thirds of all people of faith in our country believe that salvation, heaven, eternal life, comes through our own self-efforts. It comes by our own good works, comes by our own deeds, it comes by being a good person and by fulfilling certain moral obligations. Therefore, only a third of people of faith in our nation really believe that grace is what the Scripture teaches. So today we're unpacking this concept of contrarian spirituality, because everything in our culture tells us we have to achieve, we have to do, we have to be. And while that may be okay in some areas, when that's translated to the spiritual arena, it begins to distort the relationship that God wants to have with us. So in order to understand this, we got to unpack the concept of grace. And grace is really the heart of the Christian faith. I mean, you can't understand who God is if you don't understand His grace. And through understanding His grace, life will become a lot better. I can promise you that. You will enjoy life a lot more when you begin to understand the grace of God. The grace of God is so powerful. So in this message today, as we talk about contrarian spirituality and we begin this whole series, Lost in Grace, we have to talk about where grace begins, the origin of grace, the genesis of grace. So let's open our Bibles this morning and take out our message outlines as we look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Okay, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. The Scripture tells us, "For it is by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not from yourselves, for it is the gift of God," verse 8 says. See, in the beginning, the Scripture tells us we have to realize that salvation comes by grace. Salvation comes by grace. Well, what is grace? What exactly is grace? I mean, how do you define grace? Well, it's been said that grace is God giving me what I need, not what I deserve. Somebody else said grace is God's love in action. Grace has also been said to be said that it's the face that God wears when He looks at my failures. That's what grace is. So grace is how a person is saved. And the question is, well, then what is saved? I mean, what exactly does saved mean? You know, that sounds like a very spiritual term. What is saved? The Bible teaches us that because of our own sin, we have been separated from God, and that God had to send a Redeemer, Jesus Christ, one to reconcile God to humanity, and by faith in Him, that all of our sins could be cleansed and washed away. So saved is referring to being in right standing with God. In fact, a Romans 3:24 says all of us need to be made right with God by His grace, which is a free gift through Jesus Christ. So being saved is being in right standing with God, which transforms our life here on earth and also in eternity. It means that when we die, that physically, that our spirit lives and it goes to be with God. So that's what saved is. Being saved comes by grace. Okay? We are saved by grace. I love the Contemporary English Version, and it restates this verse, Ephesians 2:8, and it says, "You were saved by faith in God, who treats us much better than we deserve." I mean, that is the grace of God. God treats us so much better than what we deserve. So it is by grace, through faith, that we are saved. Okay? And the opposite of grace is works. I mean, what would the opposite of grace be? It would be effort. It would be our own doings, our own good deeds. See, what a lot of people believe is that at the end of time, God takes everything good that you've done and puts that on one side of the scale, and takes everything bad that we've done and puts that on the other side of the scale, and whichever side of the scale seems to come out ahead is where we spend eternity. And so a lot of the good things that we do are motivated from the wrong perspective, because we believe that we're constantly trying to earn God's favor, but the Bible says we could never do that anyway because we are imperfect people. So we have a mess. We have a problem. That's where grace comes in. Where grace comes in. Yeah. I mean, the great thing, man, today is that regardless of what you've done in your past, God can forgive that. That happens by His grace. And that is where salvation begins, by understanding the grace of God. Now listen, this is what distinguishes the Christian message from every other religion in the world. This is what makes Christianity distinct and different. In Buddhism, you have the Eightfold Path, and you receive enlightenment by doing all of these things, achieving all of these things by human effort, and then supposedly you receive this level of enlightenment. Islam is centered around the five pillars of Islam. And in the Islamic faith, you do. You obey. You check these boxes off. You achieve these certain things. And it's very focused on the performance of the individual. Very similar to Judaism. In Judaism, you live by the law. You live by the rules. And in Hinduism, you live by the law of karma. You know, if you are a caterpillar and you're a good caterpillar, then you maybe evolve into a higher species, you know, in the next life. And so all of these things really boil down to the same thing, which is do, achieve. You got to do these certain things. The Christian message is totally different. The Bible says, listen, you even if you could do good, you couldn't do enough to offset all of the sin in our lives. And so we have a problem, and we need the grace of God. The grace of God is the solution. Okay? So we realize that salvation comes through grace. Now, is grace too good to be true? I mean, that's what people say as they say, well, man, that sounds really cool. I mean, I would love to believe that God could forgive everything that I did, and it wasn't, you know, some massive burden and responsibility that I felt that I had to do this and do that and whatever to make God love me. So that's a really cool thing, but that sounds almost too good to be true. It was kind of like several years ago, Gina and I were living in Austin, Texas. We were going to buy a new car. So we started searching over the internet, and we made a list of all the features that we wanted on our new Toyota 4Runner. I wanted the wheel rims. I wanted the running boards. I wanted leather seats. I wanted the right stereo and a sunroof. And we had a certain budget, and we were trying to find a car that fit in to that budget but had all of the goodies. And so we noticed on the internet that everybody's price was just almost exactly the same. You know, I mean, the competition was just, you know, everybody was kind of offering about the same price, except one place in Houston. And this place in Houston had the same car, and it even had a few more gadgets, but it was about $2,000 less. So I picked up the phone and I called them and I said, hey, I live in Austin. I'm going to drive to Houston if you have that car because I'm very interested. And they said, oh yeah, we got the car, come on down. We'd love to sell it to you, blah, blah, blah. So Gina and I got in the car, we went to Houston, and we drove up, and we told the sales guy, hey, we called, we want to look at the Toyota, and, you know, and all that. So he took us over there, and he walked us up to the car, and he said, here it is. And I said, no, that's not the car. I said, it doesn't have the wheel rims, it doesn't have the running boards. I said, this doesn't have any of the features that you guys had advertised on the internet. And I said, furthermore, I called you guys, and you told me that you had this vehicle on the lot. I said, that is not the car. And they said, well, that's the only 4Runner that we really have on the whole lot. And I said, no, you guys promised me, you told me that you had that car. And they were like, no, this is the only one that we've got. And so I figured out what they had done. They had posted this on the internet to trick me, to kind of do the bait and switch thing to get me onto the lot, and then they wanted to try and sell me another car. That's what they were going to do. So obviously I was pretty mad, and I left because they you know, they had not been honest. But what frustrated me was that they had sold me an idea that sounded too good to be true, and I was foolish enough to believe that I really could buy that car for that price, and I should have known better. And sometimes we look at salvation, we look at grace the same way. We say, man, is that really feasible? I mean, that God would, in his grace, give me the opportunity of eternity and eternal life with God, and give me an eternal address in heaven, and they would wipe away my sins. And I mean, would God really do that? Because it almost sounds too good to be true, and it is so different from what many of us have been brought up to believe, or maybe even what we thought our entire lives. But the power of God's grace transcends all of that. See, the scripture goes on and it illustrates. Not only is it by the grace of God, but the grace of God is given by faith. See, we respond to God's grace by our faith. So it's our confidence in the Lord. It's our belief in him. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, right? Through faith, and that not of yourselves. In other words, it's not about our own merits. It's not about what we can do. It's a gift that is freely given to us. It is the gift of God, Ephesians 2:8 says. So salvation comes by faith, and faith is the channel through which salvation comes. And if we could earn our way into heaven, you know what we would do? When we got into eternity, we would be bragging about all the stuff that we did. Oh man, remember back in 2006 when I did this, you know? And I remember in 2008 when I did this over here, and it would be all about us. And listen, our salvation is all about God. It's all about his grace, man. And what he's asked us to do is to believe and have faith in him. Now, what do we have to have faith in? We have to have faith in the fact that Jesus Christ was buried and died and then rose from the grave on the third day. And that by placing our faith in him, that God will extend his grace to us and extend to us this salvation, this gift of eternal life. Romans 5:1 says it this way, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Romans 10:17 says, no one can have faith without hearing the message about Christ. So our faith is all about Jesus. It's faith in him. It's trusting him for our salvation, not ourselves. Now the gospel is both exclusive and inclusive. It's exclusive and inclusive. There's so many choices in life, sometimes it's hard for us to realize that there's only one way to heaven. And we must have faith, but the invitation is open to all. In fact, 2 Peter 3:9 tells us about this. God is patient because he wants everyone to turn from sin and no one to be lost. That's the heart of God. That's the desire of God, is that the gospel's for everybody. In fact, the book of Revelation even tells us that at the end of time, that there will be followers of Jesus from every tongue and every tribe around the nation. I mean, around the world, everywhere, people will be followers of Jesus. And, you know, the gospel is so powerful, it transcends culture. I mean, did you know that the Christian message is growing faster in places like Asia and Africa and Australia than it is even in the Western world, where the Christian faith has been more of a Western faith in centuries past, not so much anymore. That's changing. So the gospel is a broad, it's broad. A Christian faith is broad and it's exclusive, it's inclusive in that there's so many different people that are involved, but the Bible also says that it is exclusive and that we have to do one thing, we have to believe. In fact, Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. In other words, it's our faith in Jesus Christ that saves us. Now, we don't have to make this too complicated. Well, sometimes we kind of overthink the gospel. And I've talked with many people like this, and maybe you have too, and maybe you feel this way. It's kind of like when you're taking the SAT or the ACT test, and there's four options, and you narrow down that option A and D are not it, but you're looking at B and C. And originally you think it's B, but then you start thinking about it. And the longer you think about it, then you convince yourself that it's actually C, and you overthink it, and you mess the test up. I used to do that all the time. Those standardized tests that they used to give us in high school, I used to always bomb. I used to do terrible on those because I would overthink the answer. And I would think, but no, it could be a trick. It could be this. No, the gospel is not like that. The gospel is simple. It is straightforward. God loves you. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross and to raise from the grave. And by faith in him, God will wipe out all of your sins and restore a right relationship with him. That's the message. No tricks. It's not too good to be true. It's no bait and switch. It is what it is. And sometimes we have a lot of excuses. We think, well, I want to become a follower of Jesus, and yes, I understand Jesus rose from the grave, and that's all good, but what happened to Noah's Ark, you know? And we have excuses, or we say things like, but where are the dinosaurs, you know, or whatever it may be, and we have all these excuses that come into our mind, but really, the central focus of the issue is Jesus Christ. It's him. It's what we do with him, and that's what matters. So we can't overthink it, you know? What God wants us to do is just respond in faith and believe in him. And when we think we have a totally clear path, or sometimes we often wait for, you know, every question to be resolved before we take that step. But I have often found that God wants me to take the first step, and then as I take the first step, then many of the other questions that I have begin to make sense and begin to fall into place. It's amazing when the Lord is in your life, how many of the things you used to have questions about, well, you'll begin to have clarity on them. But you got to take that first step of faith in order to do so. So it begins with the grace of God, and then we receive the grace by faith. And then the scripture tells us that faith is a gift. I mean, it is a gift from God. Look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9 again. Look at that. And it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, lest none of us should be able to boast. Now, how many of us like to receive presents? Okay? I love presents. I'll be honest. I love to receive more than I love to give. Okay? I really do. I love presents. And the Bible says that salvation is a gift from God. Now, can you imagine this? If somebody gave you a present, and you grabbed that present, and you said, man, that is beautiful wrapping paper. That bow just sparkles in the light. I mean, that is incredible. What a nice box. I used to believe that the bigger the box was, the more expensive the gift was. And somebody gave you this package, and you just looked at it, you shook it, you admired it from afar, but you never opened it. How weird would that be? Could you imagine if you just took this present that somebody had given to you, and you set it on your mantle, and you just stared at it every day when you came in, but you never bothered to receive it and to open it. What would that be like? That wouldn't make any sense, would it? In fact, it's not really yours until you open it and make it your own. And see, once you begin to open it up and to look at what's inside, then it becomes yours. And I think in our spiritual lives that there are many of us that have been looking at the gift. Maybe you've been an admirer of Jesus Christ. You know, respect the fact that he, you know, died on a cross, gave all these great teachings, healed people, all that. But you've never invited him in to be your redeemer, your savior, if you will. And you've become an admirer of Jesus, but you've never become a follower of Jesus. And God says we have to receive the gift that God has given to us. How do we do that? Well, we receive the gift by faith. And when we receive that gift, then we begin to get on this spiritual journey with God. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Ryan, okay, the grace of God, that sounds so awesome. That is really a cool concept. But really, our good deeds don't have anything to do with our salvation. See, and here's the way most people think. Some people think that our salvation is all about, you know, believe in Jesus and be a really good person. You got to add those things together. And that's one camp. There's another camp that says, no, it's not about your deeds. It's all about the grace of God. And therefore, the grace of God has been extended. So how you live doesn't even matter. And you just do what you just pray and accept Jesus. And then you just kind of do your own thing. Whatever. Notice what the scripture tells us, this connection between grace and deeds. Look at it. The Apostle Paul was wise in his writings here as he gives us verse 10. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now this word workmanship means masterpiece. Every believer is like God's great work of art. We are God's masterpiece. And believers are God's masterpiece, and that should motivate us to live like it. Okay? Now, we do good deeds because we are grateful. And saving faith always produces a changed life. So the reason that we have good works in our life is not because we're trying to earn or achieve God's approval. It is out of gratitude for God and thanksgiving for all that He has done for us. In fact, the Bible even makes it clear that if we don't have the deeds, then we don't really have the faith. Because if you really have the faith, then your deeds will begin to align with the faith. Does that make sense? Now, that may sound like a lot of the same stuff, but it is a big difference. And the biggest difference is what motivates you in life. Are you motivated by grace? Are you motivated by gratitude? Are you motivated by, man, God redeemed me and I didn't deserve it. So you know what? My life is lived as a thank you to the Lord. Is that the motivation? Or is the motivation, man, I feel so guilty about what I did last night. I better go, you know, check this box off and do three good deeds today. And then it's all about pressure, and it's all about stress, and it's all about achievement, and it's all about human performance, and it has nothing to do with the grace of God. It all comes down to the motivation. So if the deeds don't line up with the faith, then we have to ask ourselves, is the faith really the faith that we believe that we have? Maybe you look at your life and say, man, I thought that I had faith, but I don't really see any deeds or any action. And maybe you never got on this spiritual journey from the beginning. Maybe it didn't make sense. Maybe it's clicking for the first time today. You can join that spiritual journey with God and say, man, it is about the grace of God. It's about the grace of God. God prepared beforehand for us to have good works. In other words, God gave us an eternal job description. So today we have the opportunity to become a spiritual contrarian. We have a chance to swim upstream. We have a chance to receive the grace of an incredible God. And God has given His grace to us. We receive the gift by faith. And then our deeds begin to change and to reflect the faith that we say that we have. And that's how God begins to change us. And guys, listen, this is the mission of the Edge Church. In fact, our mission statement is showing people the life-changing grace of Jesus Christ. The Edge Church is a place of grace. It's a place where people are constantly hearing about the grace of God. And that's why we have our other motto, No Perfect People Allowed, because this is a place of grace. It's a place where everyone is welcome and everybody can come and be touched by the power of the grace of God. So today, would you open your heart to Him? I want to give us just a time to pray and just to bow our heads together for a few moments and just to do business with God today. No one moving around unless it's just absolutely necessary. I want us just to have just a time of prayer and a time of commitment. Maybe today you've never really heard this whole deal about the grace of God and it's just kind of clicked in your spirit today, making sense to you. And you're thinking to yourself, man, I want to join God's team. What do I need to do? What do I need to do to begin this exciting, dynamic journey of faith? Would you just open your heart today and just pray this prayer and just repeat after me to say, Lord, I know that I have sinned in my life. I know that I have sinned. I pray you'd forgive my sins, Lord, and that you would make me a brand new person. Lord, I pray you'd forgive my sins and you'd make me a brand new person. I'm placing my faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at the resurrection for the forgiveness of my own sins. Placing my faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he did there for the forgiveness of my sins. And now, Lord, help me to walk with you each day. We pray this all in Christ's holy name.